And where's your mic right now? I don't even see it. There we go.
The SWP, Ottawa Sports Talk, with Steve Warren and Jim Jerome.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm always doing ladies and gentlemen. It's the Letterman influence.
There's no broads to listen to this show, Steve.
Okay. Stop it. Welcome to the SWP, you people. No, that didn't go well for Don Cherry. So, anyway, it's the SWP. We're here with your weekly tales of only the hottest, juiciest, sometimes cringiest tales of sports and whatever. And the show is brought to you by our friends at Jim K. Ford. It is Steve Warren along with Jim Jerome. Our weekly program is here. James, how are you?
Steve, I'm good, boy. Yeah, I'm good. I'm in Sudbury doing some live recordings.
Yep.
And so I'm here for a couple of weeks. And then, Steve, I make my way down Highway 17 east next Thursday to Ottawa.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm doing a gig, Stevie. That it's going to be way politically incorrect. Lock the doors, and I'm really looking forward to it because I'm going to get to bust loose. I think, Stevie, I've really had to curtail, you know, my internationally renowned routine, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, but this one's 600 guys in Metcalf.
Okay. Yeah. I heard about this one.
Yeah. You're the one who gave me the lead. Yeah. So we're going to take them by storm, Stevie.
Wow.
I don't know.
When they say that, though, it's like 600 guys. All it takes is one. If 599 are on board with the Say Anything Jim Jerome experience, is that one?
It's time for that, Stevie. Yeah. I'll take 599 to one, Steve. Okay.
Right.
Anyway. So I'm doing that. Good. Yeah, I'm around for a couple of weeks. Stevie, allow me to break down the playoffs for us. Because
already?
People always go to me for this, right?
Yes.
They always go to me. So I was researching, Steve, doing some research for the program earlier today. And I don't know, Stevie, if this is odd, but I think it talks to the parity of the hockey this year. All eight series, by the way, Steve, although there's a game going on right now, maybe another one starting, but prior to today, after last night, all eight series are at 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, you know, three, that's as close as you can be with three games, of course, but every once in a while, you know, Steve, you seem to get a 3-0 all the time, once or twice in the first round. So they're all 2-1, a couple of games out of whack, you know. But I was also looking, Steve, seven of them. So there's eight rounds. They've played three. So there's 24 games, right? Total that the playoffs have, that have happened so far.
That's right.
Seven of them, Steve, you went into overtime.
Interesting.
Don't know if it's big. Don't know if that's big, but, you know, that's like just a, you know, over a third, Stevie, of the games have gone into overtime.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so I'm just saying it may speak to the closeness of all these series for sure. That, you know, firstly that they all went 2-1. That no one's like I said, no one's nipped ahead 3-0.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking the Rangers would until Saturday night, but the Devils came up with a 2-1 victory. Like the Rangers absolutely kicked the ever loving shit out of the Devils. Right in New Jersey, like just destroyed them in games 1 and 2. And I said, well, that one's starting to look like a sweep. But then the Devils showed up and played some defense on the road. So who knows what to expect from the NHL playoffs. I would say this, James, in terms of expectations, I had one series in this entire first round where I said, I am absolutely 100% sure on. And that was your Edmonton Oilers taking down the LA Kings. I thought that was the one series that I could count on to go the way I think it should. And so far, not so much. Your Oilers are down 2-1 in the series.
Yeah, I know you sent me the vid. It could easily be I don't know. It could easily be 3-0 either team.
Yeah.
It's a really strange series, man. A lot of luck, a lot of sort of, bad goals, a lot of breakdown in defenses. Mm-hmm. That happens in hockey games, but it's a goofy series, man. It's a goofy series. Connor scores rips 2 the other night and they lose on, I know we're going to talk about it. They lose in overtime.
Yeah.
So the overtime goal is the puck flutters, there's 2 guys in the corner, the puck's flipping around, it goes up into the air, straight up into the air.
And let me set the scene. LA's got a power play at this stage. They're in Edmonton's zone when what you're describing happens.
Yeah. So they're fighting for the puck. And the puck goes straight up into the air about four feet above the LA player. Okay.
Vilardi.
And his stick is up there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And no doubt in my mind, Steve, that puck hits his stick, hits his blade, which, as I understand, would be a dead play.
Right. They just blow it dead.
We got to be, because it's high sticking, mm-hmm. right? Not a penalty, but anyway, they review it. They got a bunch of different angles. And, you know, there's not an angle where you can see, it's not like a horizontal where you can see the puck clearly hit his blade. But for sure, you look at it and go, well, wait a minute. It's ripping straight up the puck. His blade is in there, and the puck stops when his blade's around the puck, and it goes a different direction.
Right.
It's a fuck. The puck hit the blade. There's no doubt in my mind. Anyway, they don't. After that play, the play continued, and of course, LA scored in overtime. Mm-hmm. And then the Oilers go, wait a minute here. You know, it should have been blown dead.
Yeah.
And I think they're right. I think they're right.
Yeah, I think it should have been. The way I feel about it, and this has been much talked about, the way I feel about it is, yeah, you try and make that call as best you can, but it was one of those plays where, I mean, if you're like talking to me about ripping down goals mm-hmm. based on what's really a technicality, like you have to make that call in real time, but, I mean, I'm not 100% convinced. I think if I had to guess, like gun to my head, I would absolutely say, yeah, I do think the puck hit the stick blade, but it didn't really affect anything in the big picture. It didn't really,
right.
I think about, okay, why are we calling a penalty on that? Did it cause the goal to be scored? No, 16 seconds would elapse where Edmonton mm-hmm. even touched the puck a couple of times.
Right.
So 16 seconds went by. The play didn't cause injury. It did not create any kind of meaningful advantage. So, I mean, I wish you'd called it in real time, but they didn't. And that stage, though, it just becomes one of, I don't know, probably 20 things you could review in the minute preceding the goal. Right? Mm-hmm. Look over there in the corner. That looked like that might have been a hook or mm-hmm. whatever. I just don't want to. I think it's a slippery slope. I think we're now at a stage now where we're just looking for things. We're looking for technicalities, a get out of jail free card, to go back and cancel goals. And I think that's not what hockey fans obviously Oiler fans wanted in this case, but I don't think you want to go start reviewing all these technicalities that happened, in the minute, 2 minutes preceding a goal in hopes of being able to disallow it.
Yeah. It was Elliot Freeman or one of those guys off the panel too, who, and I thought, well, that's kind of a stupid point. But then when I think about it, I guess, right, that there's a mandate from the commissioner's office. There's a mandate from the league that they want goals. That's what the game's all about, is scoring goals. We don't want big defensive plays to take over a hockey game. We want goals. We want home runs, Steve, right? We want touchdowns, right? We want 3-pointers, all that shit. And so, that the panel was saying, so understand that they're going to err on the side of it being a goal, right. because they want it. And I'm going, well, wait a minute. This is a big goal here, right?
No doubt.
Like it's a big thing, but I agree with what you're saying too. And I should, I think they should almost have some of that discretion, you know, to go, but, you know, it's not like he batted it out of the air and in, you know, to a guy in front of the net and scored. You're right. You know, anyway, I agree with you. I thought the others, I didn't think they were going to walk away with this thing. Again, all the series are 2-1, you know. So the other thing, Stevie, is, you know, people love the playoff games, right? They love it. It is more intense. It's higher energy. It's harder hitting. It's, you know, more aggressive play, more chirping, more scrums and all that stuff, right? And people love that. They really do. And, you know, I was talking to Russ about it, right? I'm like, Russ, I'm going to fall into the people I hate who went, how come they can't do this every game? You know, right? Because everyone always says that. Wouldn't it be great if you could watch a regular season game like that, right? And Russ said, if they were like that, they would die.
You're probably right. It would be
the players would be taxing. They'd be so beat up, right, and tired. You couldn't do it. And then there's been a bunch of, you know, like every playoff, Steve, right? Everyone calls into question all the time the refereeing, whether they missed the call, whether, you know. But I'll give them this. It was the Oiler game the other day, Stevie, where Darnell Nurse was you know, skating past a guy and threw his shoulder up around the guy's head, missed him. Mm-hmm. Missed him, and the guy does the full barrel roll, right? Okay.
Yeah, like, I think that was Arvidsson.
Yeah, Arvidsson. Clearly, right? He missed him. And I'll give them this, Steve. They sent Nurse to the box right away, and Nurse was screaming, going, I didn't even hit him. I missed him. And they went to the replay, Steve, and they saw it was a dive, right? And gave him a penalty, as far as I understand, right? He ended up in the box at the same time.
So the way it was called, Arvidsson did get a penalty. Nurse got tripping on Arvidsson, on the play you're talking about.
Right.
But at the same time, Arvidsson's penalty is listed as throwing equipment against Evander Kane, served by Zach McKinnon, because I think Arvidsson was injured on the play.
But if you look at the play, he embellished.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So.
But throwing equipment was. I've never heard it called that.
Never heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess he was throwing equipment. I don't know. He said frustrated.
Throw my microphone at you, Stevie, if you're not careful. Here's the other thing, though, Stevie, about the refereeing, right? There's been some tough hits. I don't know who ended up being injured after the first three games of these playoffs, but there have been some brutal hits. The one you just sent me where the guy, I think it's a – is it a Tampa guy or Leaf guy that goes flying into the boards head first?
It's So it's in game three, and to the point about refereeing, it was interesting to hear how upset Leaf fans were about the officiating. Wes McCauley, you're the devil. I hate you. After they win in game three, I thought, and that was an overtime victory. I think they got the lion's share of the good calls in that one. So Braden Point is the guy we're talking about, and he gets hit into the end boards by Morgan Riley. I don't know if it's a penalty or not. It was just an ugly looking play, and Braden Point goes in head first. It could have been really, really bad, but yeah. Tampa Bay, in their retaliation of that, they end up going down. They ended up being a man short after that. So anyway, that was the reset on that particular play.
Right. Okay. So the other one, Stevie, the Oiler one that we just talked about, the overtime goal. Okay. So it's hilarious, right, Stevie, to be able to know 100% of the time who made the comment about the refereeing or the call. Okay.
Right.
You know what I mean, Stevie. Okay. Yep. We got effed again, you know. Okay. I'm going, Oiler fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No kidding. Wow. Jim, good one. Right. We got, you know, the refereeing. Yeah. Stevie, but I was reading comments the other night, Stevie. It's like, so if the referee happened to miss a call or whatever, you know, the idea of you going right to, I'll tell you what, it's a conspiracy against our country. No. It might be a missed call by the ref, you know. Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's why you got to blame global warming on the refereeing, Steve. Okay. I'll tell you what, it's going to be the Democrats who take us down again.
I know.
JFK, okay, he got shot by somebody else. I'll tell you what, if they keep that stuff up, Steve, all right? If they keep that stuff up, Steve, our youth is going to go down fast, Steve.
Right.
If we keep getting, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
I was reading this shit going, what the freak are you talking about,
people? Everybody wants it so bad. Everybody's so emotional at playoff time. And that's a good thing. Even saw it with Leafs GM Kyle Dubas. He's up in the press box or in whatever suite he's in at the Tampa Bay game. And he gets into it with fans. He's like, he's shouting at some Tampa Bay fan who really got under his skin. Yeah, you're a real effing hero. Yeah. Whoa, you're an effing hero.
Right.
And just scream. And everybody's emotional and into it. And so, yeah, it doesn't take much for people to think they're getting screwed over.
Yeah, the ridiculous part is comments of, oh, yeah, here we go again, where the league is picking L.A. to win a game instead of Edmonton.
Yeah.
I'm like, that makes no sense. What do you mean? Yeah, well, it happens all the time. They're out to get us.
Mm-hmm.
Who's out to get you? Who? No. Right? The league. The only thing I know about the league is they want the biggest markets to win. Okay? They do.
Ideally, but I don't think they're not fixing games to make it happen.
No, they don't call a meeting with the referees, right? And go, okay, by the way, we need LA, we need New York, and we need Toronto to make sure you, right? It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous that Leaf fans or, Ranger fans ever complain, oh, they're out to get us and stuff. Like, come on.
Right.
Now, Wes McCauley, I will say this. Somebody put the record of the Leafs in, I think, playoff games that Wes McCauley has officiated.
Oh, no.
I think they've lost them all. It's like a big laundry list.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of uncanny. But the reality is, Leaf fans, there's no way anybody's against them or trying to get them or, fixing games to make sure that they lose. And the reality is, too, I look at what happens when there's a close call and you've got to do a video review. What do they say? They say, we're going to go to Toronto on this.
Like, yeah. So guess which way it's going to go. Yeah,
exactly. So I think you're at the very least, Leaf fans, you're being treated fairly.
Yeah. So according to all those Leaf fans, here's what we're going to do. Instead of going to, instead of going to the war room, Stevie, in Toronto, there's a conflict of interest. So we're going to go to Gallardo in Kelowna. Okay, who's going to do this because he's impartial? Okay,
yeah.
A couple of things, Stevie. Well, one is, by the way, is this going to be the year for Toronto? Right, we've heard all that. It may be now, Steve, because they had no freaking business winning that game the other night.
Oh, totally.
They were getting mauled, Stevie. They were getting absolutely mauled by Tampa Bay. I watched that game. I watched it with my buddy here, by the way, Mark Newell. That's where I'm staying. Staying at his place, me and Newley.
Hello, Newley.
Yeah, me and Newley are watching the game, and Tampa is playing keep away with those guys.
Yeah, they looked like the better team.
I don't know what the time of possession was in the third period, but I don't know. It was probably 21 minutes for Tampa, minus one for. Anyway, nice. Toronto wins the game. So, yes, could have gone either way. Yes, it's early and all that stuff. However, Stevie, When guys win the Stanley Cup, there always is a look back at, why they won two or three of those games that they had no business doing. That's always the case, Steve, with someone who wins the Stanley Cup.
Right.
They didn't freaking walk over team after team, game after game after game. Right. They get a break.
Yep.
And maybe this, huge, huge game to win the first one on the road for, or are they on the road? Yeah, they're on the road, right?
Toronto's in Tampa for game
yeah,
three.
Yeah, Toronto's
and four.
In Tampa, yeah. So anyway, maybe it might be. The other thing, Stevie, the other thing is what people don't understand, and you can call me out on this, Steve, if I'm wrong.
All right.
It's really difficult, in fairness to the referees, okay, when the pace of play has changed, when the playoff games are exponentially different than regular season games. The refs might be going, holy fuck, you guys, can you give me a break here? Like, you're doing shit I've never seen in a regular game. You're doing like like, you got to give us a break here because, you know, there's a bunch of action going on. There's a bunch of post-whistle shit. You know, cross-checks aren't just cross-checks. They're like, okay, I'm going to run you through the board. And everyone's wondering whether that's going to be a penalty or not. It can't be fun, Steve, trying to referee a playoff game.
Oh, my God, no.
It can't be fun, right? Saying, oh, my, you know, I don't know if I won in or not. It was my buddy, by the way, who, Garrett Rank, Stevie, the best Canadian amateur golfer, who was making that call the other night.
Yep.
In the LA game, you know, but I think we got to give kudos to these refs, Stevie, where they, you know, when they got a referee, you know, and call these fucking playoff games, it's like, oh my God, dude, you're killing me here. I don't know if that's a penalty.
Yeah. I honestly think that you should absolutely never show replays in slow motion because that really does a disservice to the officials. Like Gary Bettman in the NHL, they always try and protect them, right? If anybody says anything in the news conference after the game that's bad about the refereeing, there's fines to be handed out by Gary Bettman. If you really want to protect your officials, then you stop on broadcasts showing perfect HD, slow motion, magnified instant replay to the fan base.
Right.
Because now you're giving them a million times better look at it than the referees had moments earlier. They're trying their best, but they don't have any of that technology. They don't have those tools like the fans do. And the fans now assume the referee should have seen it the way they did. And that's totally unfair.
Right. I agree. Right. It's like, yes, they have the advantage now of video replay, but only to a certain level, you know, like you see the puck on the stick thing. Okay. Today I look at it. Okay. Someone has a telescope or a microscope on their phone that they can, you know, quadruple the size of the thing. Go, well, wait a minute. The refs don't get to see that is your point, right?
Yeah.
They don't.
There's only a few things they can actually challenge and look at, you know, and that's why we're starting to see things like that Oiler King result the other night where we're going back 16 seconds in time to look at, you know, right. A puck that may or may not have hit a stick blade. It's because of the pressure from the fans. They want it to be perfect the way that they're watching it at home on their couch with their feet on an ottoman. They're seeing things in HD and they're seeing the replays and they want to get it right. But the reality is the refs will never be able to achieve that standard. And that's why we're starting to see some of these rules creep in that are allowing for you to go back and repair things. And it's just getting tedious, in my opinion.
Right. And imagine how tough it is, Stevie, for everyone loving playoff hockey. Okay. And I guarantee you the first five reasons will be the same for everyone, right? The aggression, the speed, the energy, right?
Yep.
The passion, the yada, yada, yada. And so you don't want to lose that. That's why people love playoff hockey. But a big part of that, Steve, is them letting shit go that they normally would call. You know, if the guy does the blatant face wash, Stevie, okay, or maybe nubs the guy in the chin a little bit with his glove on, that might normally be a penalty, right?
Right.
And so the refs now are going, wait a minute, there's this, like I was saying earlier, this mandate to let's keep that up, right? Let's keep the atmosphere of this playoff going. So they've got the tough thing about, okay, let's let a little bit slide, but at the same time, now you've seen four or five heinous checks, okay? That guys are trying to rip the other guy's head off, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you do, right? What do you do, Steve? If they start to call everything, Steve, it's going to ruin playoff hockey, right? Do you agree or not? I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's always going to be the fan pressure. When you start to call everything, there's no tolerance for anything because that's what, you know, fans clamor for. They yell for it. Say, you can't put your whistle away in the playoffs. They say that. Mm-hmm. And then if the referees did show up and didn't put their whistle away and started calling absolutely everything, overtime of playoffs, even the fans, they're like, you know, they want their cake and eat it too. And then they're like, you know, there's a clear trip there and they didn't call that. What? Well, it's the overtime, you know, that's how they handle it in overtime. Right. You don't call that. Anyway, it's a tough job.
It's really, that's weird. My point.
Oh, it's totally a tough job.
It's a tough job to referee playoff games, man.
Yeah.
No doubt.
All right. Let's take a time out of the program. We're going to be back with more after these words.
Reignite your passion for driving at Jim K. Ford. Check out all the latest innovations in the hottest vehicles like the Ford Bronco, Mustang, Maverick, F-150, and more. And for your comfort, if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Jim K. Ford will absolutely say yes to bringing a vehicle to your home or place of work for a demonstration and test drive. Jim K. Ford in Orleans or JimKFord.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago, and one of the things he took care of was the staging, which is crucial.
I mean, and especially in this market, you have to stage in this market. You have to present the homes online well, because buyers' expectations have changed, and they're so knowledgeable now. They go online, and they can see the photos. If they don't like the photos and it doesn't present well online, they're not going to go see the home.
Find out more from Glenn online today, glennwalton.com. Here's the thing, Jimmy, about playoffs. And Mike McKenna, former Sens goalie, kind of a journeyman goalie in the league, he throws this out, and I agree with part of it. And you dabbled in it earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. He asked the question on Twitter, why exactly do we play 82 games when the intensity is garbage when you compare it to the NHL playoffs? Play less regular season games and expand the playoff field. Why not? And I don't know if I want to expand the playoff field. I think the playoffs are fine just the way they are. You've got half the league, exactly the half the league gets in there. But I really think it is not seeing the forest for the trees if you're an NHL owner or Gary Bettman. Because you talk about less regular season games, what's the first thing you factor in? Mm-hmm. Well, money. Money. I'm not giving up money and playing less games. But I think the growth of the game would be all the better if you played fewer games. I think it would be short-term pain, long-term gain, because suddenly if you're playing way less games, going back to old school, original six hockey when there are 50 regular season games.
Right.
Now, every regular season game matters in the standings. Now, every player is playing their heart out in every game because it's such a small window by comparison to this 82-game freaking marathon. I really think that is something that they should look at, because what do we say when we watch the, I mean, like you said off the top of the show, like playoffs, it's just the emotion, the intensity, mm-hmm. it's so freaking good. It matters so much. And I think of also the 3-on-3 overtime. Sometimes I'm watching the 3-on-3 overtime and I'm going, this is so bananas. This is so entertaining. Right. I'm almost breathless watching this compared to the 60 minutes of nonsense I just watched in the, you know, in regulation. You want to grow this game? Mm-hmm. You give people a steady diet of that breathlessness, that entertainment level that you get in the 3-on-3 sometimes, and you almost always get in the playoffs. Now you're going to get new fans. That's how you grow this game. And that's why I agree with Mike McKenna. Fewer games, yeah, you lose money in the short term. Long term, though, you're going to attract a lot of fans if you can try and replicate more often what we're seeing in these playoffs.
Yeah, and if the league comes out and says, okay, I'm sorry, but we've got to be honest here. The grim reality is we're a business and we're here to make money.
Right.
Right? And you say, okay, I'll give you that. But if you're here to make money, well, then why don't you have 100 games?
Yeah, 200. Okay?
Why don't you have 200 games? Why don't you have it like baseball? There's 162 games. So something's got to give, right? Yeah. It can't always be for the cash. And as I understand it, the league has a lot of money, you know? So I agree. I've always thought, Stevie, that, you know, because unfortunately, you're going to be a fan of a team that as of February has no chance to make the playoffs. That's right. That's just the way it is, right? There's basement dwellers. It happens. And it's always something that people look at, right? And you've got to understand, well, this is no good. You know, what the freak is, whoever was this year, Anaheim or whoever's in the, I don't know how Detroit did or any of these guys, you know, what are they supposed to do now when they're 20 games back? What's the league supposed to do? So what baseball did, Stevie, in the minors, anyway, I saw it here, is they have the split season, right? They got the two halves. And it's a brilliant thing, right? Particularly in baseball, because there's 162 games. How cool would it be, Steve, if every 2 months, because hockey goes from October until the middle of April, I guess, when the playoffs started. Is that right? They started only like a week ago. So you're October, November, December, January, February, March, April. So you're 7 months, right? How cool would it be, Steve, if every 6 weeks, the winner of those 6 weeks of games, if they could ever schedule it, okay, gets into the wild card or gets, you know, and so every 6 weeks you're turning the clock, you're going, my team has a shot. My team has a chance.
Yeah.
And if people go, well, that's no good. You're going to get shit teams. Listen, there's shit teams now who are supposed to be in the playoffs, right? There's teams who don't stand a chance, you know, or not supposed to anyway. And look what happened.
Yeah.
They're all 2-1, a bunch of overtime games and stuff. So how, you know, I think that would be good. I think something there where we, you know, after 40 games, are you into the – what you got to fix, Steve, is not the teams who are not in the playoffs, okay? Not so much that. That's an obvious – that'll be great that they get to restart. They get to reload, okay? Right. The problem is the guys who do make it in the first half. So I've got to perfect my system a little bit, Steve. So if my Oilers win a playoff spot after 40 games, now what?
Right.
Now what for the last 40?
Yeah.
Something like that, Stevie.
I'm all for trying something. Just do something to get us a little closer in the regular season to what we see right now. Because I almost feel like as I watch this and think back to how many games I watched this year, I watched every Ottawa Senator game and then many others on top of that. Mm-hmm. And a sterility, a neutrality I feel about watching those games by comparison. And then, you know, obviously the Sens are my team. They're not in this thing. I'm watching Toronto and Tampa, and I'm like, whoa, this is unbelievable. Right. And whatever you can do to try and move just a little bit closer. You know, they always say, like, what do they say during the course of the regular season in every sport? Like, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Right.
Well, you know what? Everybody loves the sprint. Everybody loves Usain Bolt on the 100 meters. Nobody watches the marathon. Not that I don't respect the hell out of marathoners. But I couldn't name one, nor would I watch it.
Right.
So that's kind of how I look at it. Whatever you got to do to make it more exciting, more intense, take my breath away, NHL, because right now in the regular season, too many nights you're not.
Yeah. The NBA, I'm kind of throwing you under the bus here, Steve, but Toronto is in a what do they call them? Not a play-in game. You know, and I'm guessing it's sort of to give everyone a little bit of a shot to exactly what we're talking about. But I could be up my ass there. I don't know. But I kind of like it. You know, I kind of like it. That obviously, they had some sort of tie or whatever they had to do, and it wasn't decided against. You know, if you say, well, we played each other 4 times, we each got 2 wins. Well, now what? Well, let's go to most points or something. So they have that play-in game, you know. And
they lost, by the way, to the Bulls.
Right, right. Anyway, where the league did make improvements, Stevie, which was brilliant, and they had to do it because you're an Ottawa guy, is they changed the expansion rules for team expansion rules, and it was brilliant, right? And as a result of that, you've had Vegas and Seattle in the playoffs, the last two teams, right, to expand. Seattle's only second year in the league, right?
And, that is correct.
I keep reading headlines, Stevie, going, and Seattle is back to the playoffs.
They're talking about the early part of the 1900s when they had the Metropolitans, because they won a Stanley Cup like in the 30s, I think.
I know. I read a line like, and Seattle gets back to the playoffs.
Who are you talking to? Some 120-year-old dude?
I know.
That's weird.
Talking,
that's a weird headline right there.
Some pilgrim, Steve. Who's
Thank God Seattle's back. Yeah. Now back to the before we wrap up the show, we should, you know, talk a little bit more about that Leafs Tampa series because there's so many storylines in that thing.
Yes.
You know, I think about when you talk about the officiating in that third game, like John Cooper was just flummoxed. Russ Cortland's pal. I'd be keen to hear Russ's take on it too. You know, Braden Point basically had a goal taken away for no reason. Like the puck is shot on net. Samsonov clearly doesn't have the thing. He doesn't even have his trapper. Neither his hands are near the puck. It's just like the puck is there. It's up against his pad. Yes. making it harder to see, but it's clearly right there. It's not frozen. And Braden Point goes in and scores, and no, blown dead. And I mean,
Where the puck was hidden and he sticks his blade in?
That's right. And it was that would have made it like a 2-goal lead. So so I understand why Tampa fans are upset because that happens. Then you have Riley injuring Point with I don't think it was a dirty play or anything. He goes into the end boards and Point might not be available for game four, but somehow the Leafs ended up with a power play out of that. And then the Leafs tie it with a minute left when it should have been a 2-goal game. Riley then, the villain at this stage in Tampa, Riley ends up getting the game-winning goal on what looked like a little floater wrist shot. You had a fight between two 60-goal scorers as a result of that hit on Braden Point. Steven Stamkos fighting Austin Matthews.
Right.
You don't see that too often. So this is what I'm talking about when I say we need this level of drama and emotion more frequently in the NHL. When they all sit around in the boardroom and wonder, how do we grow the NHL? You need to just find a way, however you get there, whether it's your ideas about changing around the format during the regular season, whatever it is, fewer games, you just need to get to a stage where you're making the regular season. You're never going to replicate the playoffs, right, but you got to get considerably closer if you truly want to have some growth in this game.
Yeah, I agree. Stevie, I have a sharp left-hand turn.
Okay.
But it's worth bringing up because Rory McIlroy, Stevie, by the way, right? He's been the most outspoken guy against the Liv, right? The Liv is back up and going. Did they play this weekend or is it next weekend?
I do not pay attention to Liv Golf.
No, I don't know. Anyway.
Not as a policy. I just don't.
No, but you know the story, of course.
Sure,
right?
Of course.
You know the story that everyone's freaking out. Everyone's calling out these players. And then the Liv guys, Patrick Reed and Brooks Koepka came in and finished high. Brooks almost won the Masters, right? And they're from the Liv. And Rory keeps saying it's disgusting. I don't even look at those guys. They bolted, the PGA, yada, 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 right? And I've always been sort of, in between, right? Going, well, maybe he has some sort of point, right? And you'll hear a lot of that. You'll hear a lot of these guys say, they went for the money. They went for the money. A couple of things. Gary Player came out and said this week, just say you came for the money. That'll settle everything. Greg Norman, they interview him, Steve, the other day.
Yeah.
And the guy says, what about Rory McIlroy and how old? Well, this guy's the number one player in the world or right up there all the time. And him saying, this is terrible that you're stealing guys from the PGA, and that's one issue. And secondly, that they're actually doing it, leaving the PGA, who's been their bread and butter.
Right.
Stevie, love this answer from Greg, and it's given me a whole new light on these guys who are speaking out against the PGA.
Okay.
Greg Norman goes, do you know how long it took Rory McIlroy, who played on the European Tour? Do you know how long it took him to whip across and come to the PGA Tour? Like in a second. He left that tour where he started out and made some money, left that tour and blazed over to the PGA, right? Great point, Steve, that a bunch of these guys have left the European Tour to come over and play in the PGA. And now some, I'd have to look into it. Tons and tons of guys, Stevie, have left the PGA, the European Tour, to come into the PGA. And if you're speaking out against Liv, you got another thing coming, dude. And I think he makes a great point. I think he makes a great point. Sort of glass houses, Stevie, do you think? Some of this stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, I find it interesting that we've completely lost part of the storyline on Liv because I never hear anybody talk about it anymore. You didn't just there. Greg Norman doesn't. Rory McIlroy's more concerned about, that you're turning your back on the PGA, which you, where you got your bread buttered effectively. Nobody's really talking much anymore about the Saudi Arabia human atrocities.
Right.
Which was initially why everybody was upset with Liv. And now that storyline just seems to have gone away. It's kind of interesting to me. By the way, Taylor Gooch won Liv this weekend. He saw a 10-shot lead evaporate and held on to win his Australian or Liv Golf's Australian debut.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Imagine losing a 10-shot lead. Jeez.
When I want to get my Liv update, Stevie. Yes, I believe me, Steve. I've lost 10-shot leads. When I want my live update, Stevie, I go to Paulina Gretzky on Instagram.
Nice. I'm sure she has lots to say. Lots enough of good
said.
Takes.
Enough said. Good hot takes. He may start talking back to me. I better not blow it.
Right. We'll call it quits there, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, by the way, I'm trying to choose my next charity event wisely, because 10 days ago I went to a charity event, and I won the 50-50 draw at it. It was on the slab at an arena, and I won the 50-50 draw, and nice. A couple of grand. It was nice. And then
you won $2,000?
Yes, sir. 23.
Oh, you fucker.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was good. Anyway, and then last night, so
you
I go.
Gave it all back to the charity?
Last night, I went to a music trivia night, and I won that too. So I'm thinking, there's another fundraiser that I've done well at. I've got to pick my, because everything happens in threes. I got to pick my next charity event well, because I am on a roll, sir.
I don't know if you can do it from Ontario, but if you want to, if you want a good shot at a lot of dough, is go to the Oiler 50-50s. I think the last one, Steve, the guy won 1.5 mil.
Yeah,
his share. Yeah, his share.
But I have to be from Alberta, though, right? Something like
that? I think so. I don't know how they tell that, but
I'll give you the money, and you can bet it for me, and I'm sure you'll give me all the winnings when I pick up my trifecta there.
We'll have to make a deal. I love gambling. Fuck, I love gambling.
You? It's almost like you have an addictive personality.
I'm up with you. I think I'm up some money. I think we might have done some NFL gambling.
Well, it's also good. Great gambler, not a great memory.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a good gambler, not a good payer. Because I think.
Oh, no, don't say that. That makes me sound like a jerk.
Well, you're a douchebag. Yeah, I think we need I think you owe me 20, 40, 140 or something like that. I'll have to look back.
All right. Cutting your mic off now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. Our website, stevewproject.com.
Go Leafs!
Shut up. I don't often tell people in talk radio or talk in podcast to shut up, because it makes for a long show if you have to do the show yourself.
Steve.
But shut up.
Go Leafs, man.
Leafs.
I want to read you something, Steve, before we go, if I may.
Leafs stink.
No, I can't find it. Oh, here we go. 5 things to know about the NHL playoffs, Stevie.
All right.
Think that's a good way to leave the show today?
Hit me with headlines, because you got to go anyway.
3 or 4 playoff games on Saturday were decided in overtime.
Is that one?
Sniper Steve Stamkos, Tampa Bay, got in a rare scrap.
First time in NHL history, 260-goal scorers have gotten in a fight in a hockey game.
And the Kraken celebrated the return of playoff hockey, Steve, to Seattle.
Finally.
Fuck, yeah. In short, today's matchups need to be great to match the energy and entertainment of Saturday's intense showdowns. Okay,
no chance.
But count on the Oilers and Kings to give it a good shot. Raising the White House roof, Winnipeg's White Noise, which hit a fever pitch inside Canada's Life Center. Okay, there we go. They got the whiteout going, Stevie.
Nice.
Riley O'Reilly really rally. That's a headline, Steve.
I don't like it.
What is it? What's it mean?
Well, Morgan Riley got the game-winning goal for the Leafs, and Ryan O'Reilly got the game-tying goal for the Leafs with about a minute left. A lot of Rileys in there.
Okay. Casual hockey observers learned a few things about the Leafs on Saturday. This is a team that refuses to quit. I got to give them that, Stevie. I got to give them that.
67s refused to quit. They were the number one team in the nation all year long. And here in the playoffs, in the second round, they got the Peterborough Petes. And somehow, some way, they found themselves down 3-1 in the series. And then yesterday, they were down, what was the score? I think they're down by 4 in the third period in the elimination game, and they roar back with 4 or 5 unanswered goals in the third period. So they're still alive as we speak right now. So good luck to the boys. Hopefully they can come back the way they did in the third period, come back in the series the same way.
All right, Stevie, 2 more headlines. You want to just Oilers pump up the optimism. Speaking of white noise, well, the Oilers fans stewed about the high sticking non-call. We spoke about that earlier today.
We're very topical on the program.
Seconds later, 16, according to Stevie, Kings winner, overtime, game 3. The bigger
issue. Pump up the optimism. I prefer to pump up the jam, James.
Okay. The bigger issue for Edmonton's coaching staff is the lack of secondary scoring. Never heard that before, Steve. Right. Never have I ever heard anyone go, they need some secondary scoring.
Yeah, that's on every key to victory. Get pucks deep, secondary scoring. Score more goals than the other team. Ta-da!
Another headline, Steve. Marchand makes his points.
With his nose?
Boston. That's a little lowbrow, Steve. Okay,
probably. I take it back.
Boston's Brad Marchand, the super pest, the opposing teams and fans around the league love to hate. Quick to give credit to a number of teammates after his squad, battling injuries and a flu bug, defeated Panthers 4-2 on Friday to take a 2-1 lead. Stevie,
yes.
Can we go back to when I opened the show with my take on the playoffs, that all eight series are tied 2-1, seven are in, were decided in overtime.
Right.
Can I read the last headline, Steve?
Okay.
Okay, from a very, very reputable source. Parity hits the playoffs.
Right. Well, it can only be 3-0 or 2-1.
Dropping my mic, Steve. I'm dropping my mic.
Carolina's up 3-1 on the Islanders. Just ended by now. So that's it. There it goes. You're done. There it goes.
Well,
theory out the window.
Oh. Yeah, but Steve, they were 2-1.
I know.
The series was 2-1, yeah.
Okay. But it's 3-1 now, and if it's 4-1, if Carolina finishes off the Islanders in game number 5, no parity there, my friend. Yep. No parity.
When the New York Islanders won their very first playoff game, finally, Steve, at the UBS Arena on Friday.
Right.
Yeah, because the UBS Arena, Steve, I think has been around, I don't know, 2 hours.
Yeah.
These are stupid headlines.
Yeah. This is when the Sens win the cup. I'm going to remember that headline. I'm going to say the Sens return to be cup winners.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, like just like they were in 1929.
All right, exactly.
Jeez.
Stevie, what they also went on to say is a lot of about Brad Marchand, right, who's giving his team credit. And Marchand goes on to say, Steve, he would like to give credit to the Minnesota North Stars, Steve, where he spent a bunch of time before becoming one of the best hockey players in the world.
Wow, that's great. There's your Minnesota North Stars content for the show for this week, ladies and gentlemen. You never know when it will hit, but there it is at the end of the program. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you next whenever. I should point that out as well, that we apologize for being a few days late. We'll try and cram out another one here in the next couple of days, but thanks for being with us today here on the SWP. Thank you, James.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.